ಅತೇಹ ಧನ್ಯಾ ಭಗವಂತ ಇತ್ಥಂ ಯದ್ವಾಸುದೇವೇಖಿಲ ಲೋಕನಾಥೇ ಕುರ್ವಂತಿ ಸರ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಮಾತ್ಮಭಾವಂ ನಯತ್ರ ಭೂಯ ಪರಿವರ್ತ ಉಗ್ರಹ.
ಅಥ ದಸ್ ಇಹ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಧನ್ಯಾಃ ಸಕ್ಸಸ್ಫುಲ್ ಭಗವಂತಃ ಪರ್ಫೆಕ್ಟ್ಲಿ ಕಾಗ್ನಿಸೆಂಟ್ ಇದ್ದಂ ಸಚ್ ಯತ್ ವಾಟ್ Vasudeve, unto the personality of Godhead, Akhila, all-embracing, Lokanathe, unto the proprietor of all the universes, Kurvanti, inspires, Sarvatmakam, 100%, Atma, Spirit, ಭಾವಂ ಎಕ್ಸಸಿ ನ ನೆವರ್ ಯತ್ರ ವೇರೆನ್ ಭೂಯಃ ಎಗೇನ್ ಪರಿವ್ರತಃ ರೆಪಿಟಿಷನ್ ಉಗ್ರಃ ಡ್ರೆಡ್ಫುಲ್. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬೈ ಮೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಸಚ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ವೈರೀಸ್ in this world can one be successful and perfectly cognizant. For such inquiries invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes and guarantee 100% immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. Purport: the inquiries of the sages headed by Shaunaka are herewith praised by Suta Goswami on the merit of their transcendental nature. As already concluded, only the devotees of the Lord can know him to a considerable extent, and no one else can know him at all. So the devotees are perfectly cognizant of all spiritual knowledge. The personality of Godhead is the last word in absolute truth. Impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma, Supersoul, are included in the knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So, one who knows the personality of Godhead can automatically know all about him, his multipotencies and his expansions. So, the devotees are congratulated as being all successful. A 100% devotee of the Lord is immune to the dreadful material miseries of repeated birth and death. Om Ajnanati Vranthasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamuhyam Dadati Swapadantikam ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣಾರಿಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಾಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪದರೂಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ್ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ
Ram Ram Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Only by making such inquiries in this world can one be successful and perfectly cognizant. For such inquiries invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes and guarantees 100% immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. Hare Krishna. So in this verse, the questions by the sages are glorified. Because if you try to see this world is a series of questions and a series of answers. And these questions and answers, either it can be material or it can be spiritual. But in essence, all the conversation, all the communication are nothing but some kind of questions and some answers to this question. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in one of the purports that even birds get up very early in the morning and started chirping and making different kinds of noise. And he writes, they are trying to communicate with different kinds of questions, and the basis of these questions are only four subject matters, and they are eating, mating, sleeping and defending. So the bird is getting up very early and asking, where can I find some food? Where can I get some shelter? So this is the animal form of life. And even though it looks very important, these questions look very significant and they look very important, and it looks like there is nothing superior or nothing as important as these queries, but in reality these questions are only increasing our repeated birth and death in this material world. So this is the nature of materialistic questions and answers. So I was looking into one of the latest phones. So I was seeing the ad. So I saw in the iPhone 4S. So you could ask one question. You can ask, where are the nearest restaurants here? If you just ask this question, the phone will reply, okay, there are 20 restaurants nearby, and display. So these are, you know, classic example of absurd questions, you know, just materialistic questions and materialistic answers. Rather, if somebody asks how many Hare Krishna restaurants are there, then if the phone says, yes, it's good, you know, we have one Gopars, one Crossways in the city, that's pretty good. So there is some use to the phone. So otherwise, these kind of questions cannot actually lead one to the absolute platform. So in Vedanta Sutra, the first aphorism, as it is mentioned, is atha atho brahma jigyasa, meaning atha, first atha means now, second atha means therefore. Now, therefore, inquire into the absolute. So why it is mentioned now and therefore? So that now represent, now that we have got a human form of life, therefore inquire into the absolute. So again, the point is clear that even if we want to understand anything about the absolute, still we have to ask some questions, we have to inquire. So that is a very nice platform for spiritual advancement. It is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that four kinds of people surrender unto Krishna. Krishna himself says in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Artho jigyasir arthati jnani cha bharatashapha. So artha is one who is distressed. They may go to God, they will ask, okay, I am distressed, I need to get relief from this distress. Then arthati, one who is after money, if he is pious, he could go to God and ask for some money. And third is one who can inquire, who is inquisitive by nature. And final one, jnani, is one who is after the absolute knowledge. Now, it's interesting that the sequence of words in this verse, that is artho jigyasur arthati jnani cha bhardashavara. So artho arthati jigyasu cha bhardashapa. Sorry? Jnani cha bhardashapa. So artho arthati jigyasu jnani cha bhardashapa. No, it should be artho jigyasu arthati jnani cha bhardashapa. Because the jigyasu is in between artha and arthati. Meaning, it's mentioned, there is a significance to this sequence. So if you think logically, I hope it's right. If I think logically, it should be, first should be one who is suffering, then one who is after money, and then one who is inquisitive, and then one who is after knowledge, if you think a logical fashion. But it is mentioned that the inquisitive is placed between one who is after money and one who is distressed due to one reason. And that reason is that both Artharthi and Artha should come to the platform of inquisitive. One has to come to the platform of asking questions. Or why do we have to follow Krishna consciousness? Why am I suffering? Or why I need money? And even if I get money, still why I don't get satisfied? So one should come to the platform of inquisitiveness before coming to the platform of Jnani. This is 7:14, if I'm right. 7:14? Yes, that's right. 7:14? 14. What is the sequence? Yeah, Artha Jigyasa Artharthi. So that's the reason. So it is mentioned that one has to come between the both Artha and the Artharthi has to come to the platform of inquisitive to make further progress.
16.
Okay, sorry, I'm sorry. So that is the position of one who is inquiring about the absolute. So Krishna glorifies and it is given a special position before coming to the platform of Jnani, who is ready to follow Gyan, or who is follow to enquire on the absolute platform. Yes, it is Artho Jigyasa Artharthi. So in the spiritual circle we can see there are so many valid questions and there are so many valid answers to those questions. So we can see Srila Prabhupada's book is there, very famous. Perfect questions and perfect answers. So, if you see Bhagavad Gita, it's again questions and answers by Arjun to Sri Krishna. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is starting questions by the sages headed by Shavanakrishi to Suta Goswami. And in that conversation, again we hear question by Maharaj Parikshit unto Sri Shukadeva Goswami. And within that conversation, we can see many other questions and answers, like conversation between Maitreya and Uddhava, conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, like there are so many conversations within conversations. So these are all questions and answers. Now, the interesting point of these questions and answers is that they ask very wonderful, very precious questions, and these questions are questions. Answers are very, very favorable for spiritual progress. So it is mentioned, one who asks spiritual questions that help one who is asking the question, one who is hearing those things, and one who is replying those questions. So it is beneficial for all. So all the people are benefited by such questions because it is connecting to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That's the reason it is benefiting for everyone. Now, when we ask questions, there is a point that we have to understand. So, many times, I was very interested to go to a senior devotee, maybe sometimes a sannyasi guru, and ask questions and get some answers. So one devotee actually instructed me, and I found it is very useful. Don't ask any questions if you really don't want to follow. Especially if you want to ask a personal question, yes, what should I do in this situation? If you go to a very senior devotee, advanced devotee, and we are presenting this question, and the answer is obviously useful for us, otherwise why should they give such an answer? But the devotee advised, don't ask such a question just to waste the time, just for entertainment. Ask a question so that we can get the answer, then I can apply. There is intention to apply the answers in my life. So I found, yes, it makes a lot of sense. So, we will become very careful in asking the question and we will be ready to accept the answers. So, as is mentioned here, for such inquiries invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the point is here that if somebody asks a question which is very relevant for the spiritual progress, and if he applies in the life, then as it is mentioned here, it can actually ultimately bring us to the platform of ecstatic love for God, ultimately. So that application part is very significant. Otherwise, we are actually not coming to the proper help. If you hear the answer, it can help to some degree, because at least some purification because of hearing, but it's not giving us the real benefit of application. Now, here there is a very interesting term mentioned here. That is, if somebody is following that, the guarantees, so he is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that who can actually stop completely the dreadful repetition of birth and death. So there is a very nice prayer by King Kulashekhara. So his prayers are given in Mukuntamala Stotra. So in it's a very beautiful verses in Mukuntamala Stotra, and Srila Prabhupada wrote translation and purport to, I think, first 5 or 6 verses. In the initial few verses he wrote translation and purport, and rest of the verses his disciples actually translated. So it's a very beautiful book, and in the first verse of Mukuntamala Stotra, King Kulashekhara prays like this. He says, శివల్లభేతి వరదేతి దయాపరేతి భక్త ప్రియేతి భవ లుంఠన కోవిదేతి నాథేతి నాగశయనేతి దయాపరేతి ఆలాపినం ప్రతిదినం కురుమా ముకుంద. సో ద ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ప్రేయర్ ఇస్ హీ ఈస్ అడ్రెస్సింగ్ ద లార్డ్ విత్ డిఫరెంట్ నేమ్స్, అండ్ అల్టిమేట్లీ హీ ఈస్ సేయింగ్, ఓ లార్డ్ కైండ్లీ హెల్ప్ మీ టు చాంట్ యువర్ నేమ్స్ ఎవ్రీ డే. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ద ప్రేయర్ ఆఫ్ కింగ్ కులశేఖర. అండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ డిఫరెంట్ నేమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్, one name is very interesting. He uses the term Bhavalunthana Kovideti. He says the Lord as Bhavalunthana Kovida. So Kovida means expert. Bhavalunthana means one who is expert in completely destroying the cycle of birth and death. So this is the expertise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that if someone who is actually takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he can completely stop the repeated birth and death. So it is considered as his expertise. Because Lord Shiva himself says that if somebody wants to get liberation from the clutches of material energy, then that is not my department. Then one has to approach the Lord himself, Krishna himself. So this is the statement of Lord Shiva. So this is a specific feature of Krishna. And going back to this nice questions, the queries and its answers, we can see in this month, particularly in this Damodar month, we recite every day Damodar Ashtakam. And Damodar Ashtakam is originally coming from Padma Puran. And it is a conversation between Shavanakarishi and Narada Muni. So this is actually, this Damodar Ashtakam is actually written by Satyavrata Muni. It is coming from the mouth of Satyavrata Muni, and it is coming through this conversation between Narada Muni and Shavanakarishi. So we can see again conversation between great devotees, and from there this transcendental knowledge is coming. And when they present this transcendental knowledge, it is not the product of speculation or imagination. Rather, it is completely bona fide. Whatever Lord's pure devotees speak, that is completely bona fide. Even Lord himself, sometimes he quotes from Shastra, as we can see in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord quotes from Vedanta Sutra. He directly quotes from all great sages, and Vedanta Sutra says like this. So like that, even the Lord, it is mentioned, one of the quality of the Lord is, the Krishna's quality is that he is seer, he sees through the eyes of Shastra. It is a very interesting to see. And in that connection, Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita, says, oh look, Krishna is quoting from Vedanta Sutra even in Bhagavad Gita. Because whatever Lord says is Veda. It is the absolute knowledge. But still, he quotes from Vedanta Sutra. That is to teach us that we cannot actually say something, but we have to have the understanding of Shastra and we have to speak from the authority of Shastra. So, the spiritual knowledge is absolute and it is eternal. So, whenever in a conversation those great devotees speak, they are actually presenting the eternal knowledge for that place, time, place and circumstance. It's not something which is manufactured. So when Satyavrata Muni, he speaks this Damodarashtragam, it's actually eternal glorification of Krishna and his Damodar pastime. It's not something came about. No, it's an eternal glorification. It is an eternal pastime, and so this eternal knowledge actually came through the mouth of Satyavrata Muni. And that pastime was repeated by Narada Muni and Shaunaka Rishi, like that. So the knowledge is eternal. So we can see in Damodarashtragam, it's again glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his qualities and his pastimes. So we can see in the first verse in Damodarashtragam, Namam Isharam Satchidananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Bhrajamanam. So the verse is glorifying, presenting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Ishvara, Namam Ishvaram Satchidananda Rupam, and whose form is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. So the Lord is addressed as Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, due to one reason, because the devotee is praying to the Supreme Controller to give the ability to glorify the Supreme Lord. Because we actually invoke glorification of the Supreme Lord before speaking something. Because otherwise we don't have our own ability, and whatever we speak, it's not our knowledge, it's completely coming from Krishna himself. So a devotee actually addresses the Supreme Lord as Supreme Controller because he is the controller of my own speech. Matag smriti jnanam apohanam cha. So everything is coming from him, so he is glorifying the Supreme Lord, and then he is telling the Lord is completely different from us because our body is just a bag of different abominable substance, but the Lord's is Satchidananda. And it is Lasat Kundalam Gokule Bhrajamanam. And he's Gokule Bhrajamanam. His pastime, this particular pastime, was enacted in Gokul Vrindavan. It's not in Golok Vrindavan, it's in Gokul Vrindavan. So it is his earthly pastime, which is only reserved for the residents of Vrindavan. And this Damodarashtragam prayer is actually giving an access for everyone, all devotees, to understand this wonderful pastime. And it is mentioned, Lasat Kundalam. That is, this Kundalam, his earrings are touching the lotus cheeks of Krishna. So it is mentioned that there is actually, the Lord doesn't need any ornaments to increase his beauty. Because by default, the Lord is most beautiful. So is it actually possible to increase the beauty of the Supreme Lord? So if you see, it's not possible. Then what does this Lasat Kundalam doing? This Kundalam, the earrings doing? So it is described that actually, this earring has become more shining because they are touching the cheeks of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam says, in the conversation between Uddhava and Vidura, it's actually Uddhava is remembering the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. So there is a beautiful verse where it is mentioned, Vismapanam Sustyacha Saubhagarthe Parampadam Bhushana Bhushanangam. So it means, Parampadam Bhushana Bhushanangam. The ornaments are actually, Krishna is the ornament of his ornaments. So even Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion makes this point a few times. That is, one of the Krishna's feature as Krishna doesn't need any ornaments, but ornaments are becoming, or Krishna is becoming the ornament of his ornaments. So that is the point of giving here, Lasat Kundalam Gokule Bhrajamanam. Then, as it is mentioned, Yashoda Pilokulat Ladhavamanam Paramrishta Matyantato Drutya Gopya. So, there is a chase between Krishna or Mother Yashoda and Krishna. Mother Yashoda is trying to capture Krishna. Why? Because originally Krishna was stealing butter and milk, yogurt from so many cowherd woman. So Yashoda wanted to stop that, so she started giving special grass to whom? All different specific cows. And this grass will give a special flavor to milk. So this is the whole strategy. And there were 8 specific cows which were most special, most auspicious. They were known as Padma Gandha. Padma means lotus, Gandha means fragrance. So the milk produced by these cows had the fragrance of Padma, of lotus. So it was very special. And Mother Yashoda wanted to make milk, get milk, and from there yogurt, and from yogurt butter from this specific milk. So from there is actually this Damodar pastime is starting. That is, Mother Yashoda is trying to churn the milk, and you know, then from there she goes to then the milk which were boiling in the stove. Then Krishna gets out from the lap of Mother Yashoda and he creates a scene. And it's mentioned, ultimately, Mother Yashoda was able to catch Krishna in the chase. So usually Mayavadis, they want to become one with God. In other words, because of their polluted intelligence, they want to become God. However, Vaishnavas can become even more than God. So this is the greatness of Vaishnava philosophy. Bhakter Jitattvam. So it is not that by competing with Krishna, one can actually become greater than Krishna. Because of submissive service unto Krishna, Krishna agrees to be conquered by his devotees. In that way, one is becoming greater than Krishna, only to give pleasure to Krishna. So there is nothing wrong in the motivation. It is completely pure. So this is the wonderful acts of Krishna. And one of the very important learning points in this pastime is that when Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna, even though she was trying with a big rope, ultimately 2 fingers were short all the time. And these 2 fingers represent one as our endeavor and other as Krishna's mercy. Now, we have heard this many times, maybe. But one thing I had a realization that it is very important to understand that in fact these 2 aspects, that is Krishna's mercy and our endeavor, we can actually experience specifically in this month of Kartik. Because as part of our Kartik vow, we take some vow that we will follow something, chanting some extra rounds or reading something extra or doing a particular service. Some vow we take. And we try to maintain, we try to follow that during this month. So all the time I have noticed that if I choose to take some vow where I am lacking. So if I am lacking reading, so I decide, okay, this month at least 2 hours of reading every day. So some people who are, one time I remember I was struggling for Mangalarati. So I take a vow that I will come for Mangalarati before 4:30 every day. So, by Krishna's mercy, we are able to do that. So, we can actually personally realize this point. That is, when we endeavor and we get Krishna's mercy and we are able to accomplish our promise. So, this is very, very nice meditation actually for this month. That how Krishna helps the devotees, and our vow may be very simple. You know, it may not be very great things, but at least a simple thing we are able to do by Krishna's mercy. And then what happens? After that, we are able to carry forward that. We get that impetus for doing that particular act in devotional service. And throughout the rest of the year, we can actually follow that. So that becomes a boost in our spiritual life. So this is a specific the significance of Kartik month, where we can follow something and we can actually obtain the mercy of Krishna. So that I find very interesting, because I have obtained the mercy in that way. And then after that I could actually come for Mangalarati most of the days. So that is, you know, just Krishna's mercy. Same with reading. I was struggling one time in reading. Then that year I took the vow that, you know, 2 hours I will read every day. It was a struggle. Definitely it was a struggle. But somehow or other, just pushed on. And I was able to do that. So that actually helped in understanding and, you know, and remembering few things from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the mercy of the Lord, where we can actually realize this pastime, we can actually realize by for taking some steps towards devotion service. So as it is mentioned here, okay, by worshipping and understanding Krishna, or if we are trying to understand Krishna, ultimately one understands other features of Krishna. As it is mentioned here, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, three features of the Absolute Truth. By understanding Krishna, one can get other realization. We don't separately endeavor for understanding Brahman or Paramatma. We just worship Krishna, and by Krishna's mercy, we get some understanding of Krishna, and we again worship Krishna, we increase our understanding of Krishna. In fact, it's very interesting that there is no limit to understanding of Krishna, and there is no limit to glories of Krishna. To the degree that even Krishna doesn't know to the end of what is the end of his own glories. So this is an apparent contradiction. The reason is, Krishna is all cognizant, so he should know everything. Still, he doesn't know what is the end of his glories. So at one point, if he can try to understand his glories, he may understand at one point, but his glories again increases. Then he is trying to understand his glories again, but his glories increases. Now, how can we understand? He is supposed to be all-cognizant, he is all-knowing, but he doesn't know at a given time all his glories. So Srimad Bhagavatam answers this question. How is it possible that even though he is all-knowing, still he doesn't know all of his glories? So the answer is in a logical presentation. It is presented, if we talk about horn of a rabbit, is there any horn for a rabbit? No. So if somebody doesn't know, or somebody hasn't seen horn of a rabbit, is there anything wrong with that? No, there is nothing wrong, because it doesn't exist. In the same way, if Supreme Lord doesn't know end of his glories, there is nothing wrong in it, because that doesn't exist. So that is the logic presented here. So in that way, there is no end to the Lord's glories. So it is very wonderful time we can actually think about some of Krishna's glories, and that is the need of Bhagavatam, because we can understand some of Krishna's glories. And by that, eventually, by taking complete shelter of Krishna, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and his seva, we can actually become sent-person devotees. That is the aim. We had to become sent-person. Now, we may be a little devotees, but sent-person devotees. And then we can actually cross over this dreadful material miseries of repeated birth and death. So this is the conclusion of this verse. As Kunti Devi prays, Srinandi Gayanti Ghananti Abhikshnasa Smarandi Nandandi Tavehidam Jana Taeva Pashyant Taeva Pashyant Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambujam. The last line is Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambujam. By following the process of devotional service, that is Srinandi by hearing, Gayanti by singing, Ghananti and appreciating, Smarandi Nandanti Tavehidam Jana Taeva Pashyanti Taeva Pashyanti Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambuja. Can't remember one phrase. Anyway, it is mentioned, glorifies Krishna's lotus feet, that is Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambuja. That is, your lotus feet is such that it can actually put an end to repeated birth and death. So this is the beauty. So I'll just tell a pastime of Srila Prabhupada. So one time, one devotee mailed to Srila Prabhupada asking, okay, the Lord has different features, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavaneti. So we are actually following Krishna consciousness, we are chanting, and you know, we are trying to worship Krishna. Instead, why can't I go out first, let me realize Brahman, then let me realize Paramatma, and then let me come to the platform of, you know, beginning of bhakti, and then I will follow Krishna consciousness. So to this question, Srila Prabhupada asked one question in return. The question was, are you chanting your 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra? And the answer was no. So the whole idea is, if we actually follow just simple process of chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with the devotees, then naturally we won't have this kind of questions. We'll have some valid questions, and we can actually understand something about the Supreme Lord, and we'll be enthused in our devotional service. So with this, I stop here and see if there are any comments, questions or corrections. Yes,
for the mind that might create some kind of key.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, mind always gives trouble. The reason is, the interesting aspect is that the fear is our second nature in material existence. And fear means the feeling that we will lose something. Our fear that we lose something. That is fear. Because material existence, there is fear because one identifies as mind and body, and these are changing, correct? So there is fear and material possession which has to go. So by nature, since it is temporary, we have the fear element because we don't want to lose anything. So there is fear, fear of losing, practically speaking. Now, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have the same tendencies, and very strongly. If I do this, you know, what will happen to me? You know, will I be able to actually go through my devotional service? You know, so many different questions, so many doubts come. So, one practical thing what we can do is, usually I get inspired by devotees who are actually surrendering. Carefully seeing how other devotees acted in this occasion, or how these devotees are nicely performing devotional service. Actually, there are always, if we have some problem, say, if we are facing a particular problem, anything, there will be a devotee who is actually has gone beyond that. Even in our, you know, somebody who is actually doing devotional service in a better way in that particular spot where we had trouble. When we actually just see him, we get actually inspired. So association helps in a lot in that context, because we all have different kinds of fears, even when we come to devotional service and we are performing. But with association, we can actually get rid of. Because we see examples. Look, he is also a devotee like me, and he is doing that particular thing so nicely, and he is not worried about that. So let me also follow. Like that. That practical example helps a lot. That's one thing I can say. Then, of course, philosophically we can understand the situation of fear, and we can take shelter of holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. But example helps a lot. Would you like to add anything on to this? In terms of karmic grain, that is, as you pointed out, that will have a major impact on our consciousness, major impact. And if we want to actually maintain our Krishna consciousness in a good standard, then one should avoid, and here we are avoiding that. We don't use kami bread, and when we are preaching, even we are preaching to students, and those who are living near the temple, we enforce that they have a bread maker. When I was living outside, I had a bread maker. So still that is running. So somebody has this kind of problem, I tell, look, you put you have nothing to do, just put the stuff in, turn that on, and goes to sleep. Yeah, oh, morning bread is ready, why do you have to go and buy bread? So we had to be very strict regarding that. So bread is just, you know, why to spoil ourselves just by contamination? Exactly. So the lower form is fruits is the minimal, right? Which has the karmically less potent, you know, less reaction. Fruit, then fried, and then grain. So grain is the most, so that completely we had to avoid. Then in terms of chocolate, definitely no. We have heaps of carob chocolates and, you know, so many things here. And I don't think this is any scarcity for sweets in this temple. I don't think anyone can complain for sweets. You know, I don't think anyone would actually feel to go for chocolate. And definitely we don't, none of us or whomever I preach to, clearly say no. There is no in between. No, that's it. So I don't eat, or I don't know anyone eating it. You know, I just, it has caffeine in it. Yeah. Cocoa, it has cocoa. Cocoa has caffeine in it. Yeah, same with tea and coffee, the same thing. Same thing. So, I remember one of the pastime of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. I was hearing one of the, you know, Vyas Puja celebration. So, where Maharaj chastised his disciple, made I think chocolate cake or something like that. Accidentally, he didn't know early days. So Maharaj actually, you know, are you giving me intoxicant like that? You know, are you giving your spiritual master intoxicants like, you know, terrified? And so, you know, we do follow that. To my understanding.
And they made a chocolate. They had chocolate ice cream, and they brought it out to him. He said, "I really like chocolate, but I don't take it because I have to sit the exam."
And in this regard, especially with prasadam, and I also personally say, whatever is fried from outside, we don't eat, like the potato chips and all this kind of thing. So whenever I notice somebody whomever I can actually tell, I tell them straight. So I remember recently we were going on a picnic, and one devotee boy, not in the ashram, in outside living, he said, "Shall I get some potato chips?" I said, "No." But others were following, so only one person, he was, you know, I used to eat, said no. So people are, if you are following, and, you know, if you are actually telling, those who are sincere and serious, they do follow. And one good example from Shastra regarding this food, which actually struck me very strongly, is pastime of Ajamal. In Ajamal pastime, okay, we know the initial phase, okay, he left his family, he went with the prostitute and he was living. But there is a very striking statement regarding food, that Ajamal increased his sin by eating foodstuff cooked by his wife prostitute. So, you know, that was really striking. So, you know, people outside cooking, we don't know what is their consciousness. And obviously it is not Krishna consciousness. It is very, very pathetic. So we are actually increasing our sin by eating foodstuff cooked by other people, you know, non-devotees. So that actually struck me very strongly. So, yeah, so that is a kind of standard I can say. Mother.
And she wanted to cook something, so she made a Christmas cake. It was Christmas time.
Yeah.
She made a Christmas cake, and it was completely vegetarian, no eggs or anything like that. And I was wondering, you know, what should I do? I didn't want to say, be just rude and say, "Well, no, I'm not going to take it." So I thought, okay, I'll take it with me when I leave. And to see what my swami, because he was doing
Yeah, personally, what my mother, if when I go to India, I accept that. They cook vegetarian and I offer and take.
But they're not vegetarians, so.
They're vegetarians, yeah. Yeah. They're vegetarians. And they're like, they chant a couple of rounds like that now.
The last time I was, he was saying also that a lot of you offer Krishna, and you take, then your mum, because you cook it out of rice, she'll also get some better.
So whatever Mara said, it's fine. Anyway, I think generally what I have noticed among devotees, Udhavs are strictly following. When it comes to their family, if they cook, if mother cooks something vegetarian for them, I think they offer and eat. Even when I am traveling, especially, not here, it's okay, but in India, in some relatives' houses. Relative houses, if they are vegetarian, and if the kitchen is vegetarian, if they cook, I offer and eat. I tell, don't cook with onion, garlic, don't cook, this is going to offer, because they have the background, so they can understand at least. I'm going to offer to Krishna and then we will eat as per salad. Like that I tell and then I accept.
Because what about if your parents are not vegetarian, they cook something strictly vegetarian?
Yeah, so, yeah, I understood your point. Maybe you can follow what Maharaj said. I think that could be the best. Yes, a rare situation. It's a rare situation. That's a good point. It's a rare situation. It's not everyday situation. Yeah, but constantly, if I eat even from my home regularly, my consciousness will be affected. Yeah, it will be affected. I won't do that. If I'm living for a long time, I don't prefer to eat from my home for sure. No, for a short period, few days, it could be okay, manageable. But otherwise, no. It's not practical. It won't work. Consciousness will be affected. And sometimes I can see my consciousness is affected or was affected when I used to. Even vegetarians, they are vegetarians still. After eating their food, I could, generally consciousness kind of thoughts coming sometimes, yeah. Which is not otherwise, so definitely there is effect. We cannot neglect the impact. There is impact, but we are taking a risk. We had to understand the reality. There is a risk, but we are taking the risk. That's it. Because it's a preaching also. Because we don't want them to run away completely from Krishna and us. So we take some risk in preaching. But only that sake. But that is again not for sense gratification. So when we take chocolate and the other things, that is clearly the sense gratification. So we had to see the consciousness behind the whole activity. I would say that. In Kali Yuga, that's the reason I heard this question to ask to some other senior devotee and I heard the answer. So that's the reason we actually follow the example of Srila Prabhupada, and we generally try to set standard according to Prabhupada's instructions and his followers' instruction. So there is a limit, we cannot say things are processed, many things are processed. In Kali Yuga, we cannot obtain everything pure then, and we don't have a farm also to feed all of us. So there are certain lines, certain standards are kept due to that reason. So we do actually stick to those standards. Like semolina, it is processed. It's from wheat, it is processed. What can we do? We accept certain things according to time, place and circumstances, as said by Srila Prabhupada. Purvadius Samadina. So we use, we don't go beyond our knowledge. So we have that. Yeah.
So I had there are certain devotees that said, like, you know, just you need to make your own dal by just soaking into the rice and then grinding yourself and then make the dal for making meat in the process, right? Something like that. As
and basically the principle
of
so the main principle is heat, where heat is applied, we avoid. That is cooking, basically, heat is applied. That is the general principle. Say papadam, we fry papadam, but papadam has got a lot of processing and drying.
Yes.
But they don't use the flame, generally. Yeah.
But to make the dough.
Yeah, there is a certain element of whatever is used, so we accept to some degree. So that's the reason we have to follow what is the standard set by ISKCON, by Prabhupada. Then we try to follow that.
So what's the working what you mean? So many purchase from your shops can you use for the energy also?
I don't know the exact processing, so maybe we had to get into details later. Basically, if it's not cooked, generally acceptable. That's the bottom line. It can work out later. I don't know. I cannot get into the details of cooking. I don't know. Muchikunda Prabhu, we had a question. Yeah. Quality? Quantity leads to quality. Okay. Okay, this is an interesting point because it's not that just quantity leads to quality. We need a minimum dosage. That is quantity. So Srila Prabhupada has instructed we need 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. So that is a quantity. So it's not just the quantity is leading to quality. So 16 rounds is the minimum dosage. At least we need that many Hare Krishna Mahamantras to sustain in 24 hours. So that is the battery charge required. So that's the minimum. Now, quantity leading to quality means the only thing we can understand, if we try to chant sincerely daily with attention, then eventually quality will come. So the holy name himself becomes merciful and the holy name gives mercy. That's how it works. That's Rupa Goswami says, Pitto upadapta rasanasya narojikanu, because our tongue, you know, it's like for a jaundice condition, so there is no taste for sugar candy. But kindu adarat anadinam khadu saivajushta swadikramad bhavati tadgata mulahantri. But kintu, however, Adarat, with careful attention, anudinam, every day, khadu saivajushta. If you take the holy name on the tongue carefully, that carefully is very important. Then, swadvi kramad bhodi, then eventually, taste will come, tad gada moolahantri, because the holy name will act upon us and the ignorance from the heart will go slowly, slowly. Then, we will get the taste for holy name. So, we need the minimum dosage as the quantity, and that is not sufficient. One need attentive chanting. One has to be careful. And if you do that careful chanting, then holy name becomes merciful and give us the mercy. Then the taste comes. Okay, sleeping, say, generally we had to take enough rest so that we are not so tired. Say, one time one can sleep, but it shouldn't be every day. It shouldn't be a daily affair. It shouldn't be a frequent affair.
So when you come up with that kind of consciousness, your round was not completely quantitative.
Yeah.
Not completely.
Yeah.
It's the same
quality. Yeah.
So
we had to understand we are practicing. We are not in a perfect state, so there will be up and downs. Still, we had to pursue.
Can we compensate some of the wrong, like for my ways, if I find that the wrong is not on the teaching, I try to go for another round.
Yeah, if you can do that, that's good. It's good. No problem.
Still, it's not like the pure thing. So I feel like the
pure platform is very. It's like pure platform is very high. But at least if you are sincerely trying in this way, that is very good. If one round is not good, if you are doing an extra round to compensate, it's very nice. Pure platform is very high. So at least this is a step which can actually lead to pure platform. So if you are actually moving in the right direction, that's good.
So that's what I was
What I try to do is, if mind start wandering, it sees, you know, it's gone, then I just stay at one bead and, you know, chant a few rounds, few mantras.
That's what I do.
But a few mantras,
yeah,
which I don't count.
Yes.
You know, just to get my mind back, and, you know, I chanted some mantras so that, you know, I don't lose anything. So then I keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had another question related to that. Sometimes I feel like my mantra is 180.
Yes. Don't worry, don't get technical too much. We are just trying to serve the holy name, that's it. We are just trying to serve the holy name, so don't worry too much about all this technicality. Hello. Yeah. Okay. So it's very interesting that who is the source of all mercy or devotion, who is the source of all devotion? That is Srimati Radharani. So even though I was actually told by a devotee recently, this discussion came, so regarding Damodarashtakam, so it was interesting. That is, even though it is Damodar pastime and we glorify Yashodama, we glorify Damodar,